Thanks, George, for the introduction. So again, my name is Jin Yue. I'm a third year PhD student at Columbia. And today I'm going to talk about a system called Loom. This is joint work with my colleague Herman and also my advisor Jun Feng at Columbia. Okay, so the basic idea of Loom is to use execution filters to filter out buggy interleavings in the programs in order to bypass race conditions. So here, by race conditions, we mean not only data races, but also those more complicated errors, like atomicity errors. First, let's see an example of how complicated and time-consuming fixing a race can be. This is a real race from Mozilla. So it is in Mozilla's JavaScript engine, and it crashes your program, so it's pretty critical. As you can see, the problematic function here is this JS destroy context. It will be called when the thread wants to exit. It first does garbage collection. It uses a mark and sweep approach, so it will call mark atom state to mark something in the data structure. And then the function will test if the current thread is the last thread entering this function. If it is, it will call free atom state to free all the data structures that are used in the garbage collection. Because they thought there wouldn't be any more threads once to call mark atom state. However, it's not the case, because this property, this happens before relationship, is not ensured by the source code. And we can easily find a buggy interleaving like this. So the long last thread enters the function, followed by the last thread, and then the last thread calls free atom state before the non-last thread calls mark atom state. This gives you a free use after free error. Fixing this race can be very simple. We can just put the entire function in a critical region, as here we reuse the GC log. However, the developers didn't do it this way. This is how they do it. So you don't need to understand this piece of code. So the basic idea is, instead of using a mutex, they use integer flags, very likely for performance reasons, because they thought protecting the entire function would be very expensive. So this complex fix involves four functions and three integer flags. And it took nearly a month for the developers to fix it. Okay, this is not the only example. We did a study on totally 9 real races, and these races are not only from these desktop programs, but also from server programs like a MySQL and Apache. So these races are also very critical because they either make your program to crash or have some serious side effects. All of these races share a similar pattern. That is, it takes a long time to fix these races, even if the developers know the root cause very well. So these races, since I said there's a delay of this of fixing a race, and this delay ranges from a few days to months or even years. This is pretty dangerous, especially for server applications, because the attackers may use this vulnerability window to attack your machines. Okay, so would it be nice if we can have a tool that can work around these races before the final source code fixes already? Loom is such a system. It's such a live workaround system. We call it workaround system because it uses execution filters to filter out buggy interleavings so as to fix races. Let's see an example. This is again the same JavaScript engine error. And we can simply fix this error by writing a mutual exclusion execution filter. So this filter will filter out all the interleavings in which the two instances of the function run concurrently. Okay, so what's highlighted in green is the execution filter. So JS destroy context is the function name, and then less than greater than symbol means mutual exclusion. Self means we want this function to be mutually exclusive with itself. This is just a simple example. We can do more. So actually, we can specify more fine-grained code regions using file names and line numbers. And also, we can enforce all the constraints. Say, I want this statement to be always happen before the other statement. As you can see, these execution filters are very declarative and easy to write because they express users' intentions clearly. So you just need to say, I want these regions to be mutually exclusive. You don't need to worry about those low-level operations like locks, unlocks, or semaphore operations. We also call Loom a live system because it can install execution filters to live applications without restarts. This is pretty useful for server applications which require high availability. So this feature is also similar to the live update systems, but the live update systems suffer from safety issues. We'll talk about the safety issues later, but to give you a general idea, it's not always okay to update a running program, because if you don't do that carefully, you may introduce new errors. And our system can install execution filters safely without introducing new errors. Another problem is the performance problem. So usually when you want to update a running program, you have to run the program with the program instrumentation tool. And these instrumentation tools usually have large overhead. Even if during normal execution, that means you just run the program with the framework without installing any filters or fixes. So our system Loom incurs little performance overhead during the normal execution. We'll show you some evaluation results and how we do that in later slides. We evaluated Loom on 9 real races from a diverse set of applications. So our results show that Loom bypasses all the evaluated races safely. It applies execution filters immediately to the running program. It incurs little performance overhead, scales well, and very easy to write. In the rest of the talk, I'm going to cover these items. First, I'm going to talk about Loom's architecture, which combines static preparation and live update. Second, I'm going to talk about the safety issue and how we deal with the safety issue. Thirdly, I'm going to talk about how we update a running program and how we reduce the performance overhead. After that, I'll show you some evaluation results and finally conclude. Our Loom system is divided into two parts, static preparation and live update. During the static preparation, we use LLVM compiler plus our Loom compiler plugin to compile application source code. So here we show some command lines. So basically, we compile source code down to bit code and do some transformation and finally compile it down to executable. So LLVM compiler will generate the application binary, and the Loom compiler plugin will also inject a Loom update engine into the binary. So we did this injection very carefully so as to reduce the overhead of Loom update engine when running it with the program. The Loom update engine also contains some code to help with ensuring safety. We'll talk about that later. During the live update, during the runtime, the user can pass an execution filter, which is very high level, to our Loom controller. Loom controller is a standalone utility. So the command line shows here, Loom CTL is just short for Loom controller, and it can install a filter which is stored in a file to a particular process. Loom controller will translate this high-level execution filters down to low-level operations. For example, it will translate mutex operations, mutual exclusion execution filters down to mutex operations like locks and unlocks. It will translate all the constraints into semaphore ups and downs. After the translation, it will instruct Loom Update Engine to apply the fix to the program. Loom Update Engine, since it is running along with the application, it can monitor the program state, leads it to a safe state, and finally apply the filter so that we can have a patch the application on fly without restart. I just talked about the architecture of Loom. Now let's look at what the safety issue is and how we deal with that. So using one sentence, safety means not introducing new errors. I'll show a bunch of examples to help you understand. First, let's look at a mutual exclusion filter. As I said, Loom will compile it down to locks and unlocks. Imagine this is a running thread, and we want to add lock and unlock here. But it's not always safe to do it, because the program may be running right inside the critical region. So if this is the case, the program will hit unlock first, which is wrong, because the mutexes are not supposed to be used in this way. The same scenarios go for all the constraints as well. So you have two threads, and all the constraints will be translated into ups and downs. If when you update the fix, update the program, the first thread is running after up, and the second thread is running before down, then the second thread will wait forever because the up is missing. Okay? And similarly, if the first thread is running before up and second thread is running after down, then the up will not be captured by the down. Or even worse, it will be captured by a wrong thread. That means you're waking up a wrong thread. Okay? So as you can see, in all of these three cases, they introduce new errors, even if the fixes themselves are cracked. How does Loom handle this problem? We use an algorithm called evacuation algorithm. It goes like this. First, we identify the dangerous region using static analysis. So for example, for mutual exclusion filter, we just perform a reachability test from the entry points of the critical region to the exit points of the critical region and mark everything in between as dangerous. So as here we show the dangerous region as a red region. As you can see, there's a thread running inside it, so it's not safe to update. Then we do evacuation. We will evacuate all the threads that are running inside the dangerous region. So basically, we will first block all the threads that are going into the dangerous region and also wait for all the threads that are currently inside the dangerous region to exit. And after all the threads are evacuated, we install the filter and later resume all the threads that are previously paused. There are two technical challenges here. First is how we pause and resume a thread. Second is how we only pause them at safe locations. We're going to go through these problems one by one. First, let's look at how we pause and resume a thread. This is a controlled example showing how database worker thread works. It's basically a loop. In the loop body, it first receives a request from the user, and then it opens relative tables, do some real work to these tables, and finally close them. This is a corresponding CFG, control flow graph. You can see a loop body inside and also a back edge pointing from the end of the loop body to the beginning of the loop body. So when we want to, so if we want to pause the thread, in the static preparation, we will add some conditional breakpoints to the program. This conditional breakpoint is nothing like the hardware breakpoint. It's just some code injected by Loom compiler plugin. So we don't add these breakpoints everywhere in the program. We only add them to three types of locations. First, back edges. Second, external functions. And third, recursive function calls. We did this because imagine if we have a piece of code that doesn't have any back edge, doesn't call any external functions or recursive functions. You don't have to pause it because it can finish very quickly. This is the implementation of cond break, conditional breakpoint function. So it's simply a read, unlock, and relock. Pay attention, this is not the final version yet because we haven't considered the safety issue so far. So the update lock here is a global read-write lock. So as you can see, the read lock can be shared by different threads. So during normal execution, when no update is going on, all the threads are happily running. They don't need to contend with each other. But when there's an update going on, the loom update engine will call this loom update function. So this function will try to acquire update lock in write mode. We know write lock is exclusive. So after it grabs this lock, all the application threads must be running inside the gap between read unlock and read lock. Okay, so this is how we pause these threads at back edges. And the similar scenarios goes for external functions and recursive function calls, but we're not going into that detail. You can refer to our paper. And after pausing those threads, we can install the filter and finally unlock the update to resume all the threads that are previously paused. So pausing a thread is still not enough. We also want to pause threads at only safe locations. Let's see how we do this. We do this by change these two functions a little bit. We use a wait flag. This wait flag is for each back edge. Okay? Let's look at its usage. First, let's look at the loom update function. First, it will identify the safe locations. And then, for each safe back edge, it will set this wait flag and then try to grab the lock in the write mode. Okay? And when the application thread goes into the conditional breakpoint function, if it's in a safe back edge, it will go into the function because the wait flag is true. And then it can get the chance to be paused inside the gap between read unlock and read lock. But otherwise, if it's a dangerous back edge, it will simply skip this function because the wait flag is false. So after we grab the write lock, the update lock in the write mode, we assure that all the application threads are paused at safe locations. And then we can happily install the filter and finally reset the wait flag and also unlock the update lock to resume all the threads. So this is how we ensure safety. One interesting thing here is this wait flag is not only for safety, but also for performance. So the idea is, because in normal execution, wait flag is always false, okay? And then all the threads that are going into this function will simply skip it, so that without executing read unlock and read lock those expensive operations in the if branch. And also, back edge ID is a compile time constant. That means the address of wait flag is always fixed. So after we inline this piece of code, inline the count break function into the application binary, it's just the two instructions. First a compile and then a conditional jump. And the branch prediction, we also mask some overhead here because wait flag is always true during normal execution. Okay, so I just talked about what a safety issue is and how we ensure safety. Now let's look at how we update a running program and how we try to reduce the performance overhead. So we do this by using an idea called hybrid instrumentation. The basic idea here is we clone the function to two different versions. One is the fast version shown on the left, and the other is the slow version on the right. In the slow version, we add these slot functions between each two adjacent instructions. And the slot function will go through an operation list and perform those operations one by one. These operations are those low-level operations like ups and locks and unlocks, ups and downs. So when you want to update a program, you simply change this operation list, and the slot function will do whatever you want it to do. In order to improve the performance, we use the switch flag. So the idea here is during normal execution, the program will always follow the fast path instead of executing those slot functions on the slow path. Only if the function is updated, we use the switch flag to switch the program from the fast version to the slow version. So these switch flags are added at the function entries and also along each back edge. So this is how we update the program and how we use the switch flags to maintain two versions to improve the performance overhead during normal execution. This graph shows the Bell instrumentation overhead. So the methodology is we run the original program, collect some performance data like throughput and response time, and later we run the program with Loom instrumentation framework, but we don't add any filters into the program. So this is Bell instrumentation overhead. We measure the same performance data and compile them, calculate the percentage overhead. We choose these applications, Apache, MySQL, and also Splash 2, which is a set of scientific programs. We use AB as the benchmark for application and Sysbench as the benchmark for MySQL, because these benchmarks are also used by developers themselves. So the blue bars here show the performance overhead of Loom. As you can see, it's always less than 5%, which is pretty good. And sometimes we even see some speed up. We believe this is because after we added some synchronization operations to the program, they reduce the contention of the original synchronization operations in the program. There was another paper called DMunix, which is published in OSDI 2008. They also observed similar speed up after they add synchronization operations to the original program. And then we compile Loom with PIN. PIN is a well-known dynamic binary instrumentation tool, and we compile it because we actually did implement Loom based on PIN previously. But later we found PIN has a very large overhead. Like for Apache, the response time is more than 10 times than the original, which is not quite suitable for our purpose. We also measure the scalability. So we do this because we added some synchronization operations. So we wonder if that may degrade the scalability a little bit. So we did this experiment on the 48-core machine with 4 CPUs, and each CPU has 12 cores. So during the experiment, we pinned the server to the first 3 CPUs and the client to the last CPU, because we don't want them to contend. So this graph shows the scalability on MySQL. The x-axis is the number of threads from 1, 2, 4, 8, 16 to 32. We didn't use up all the cores because we run the server and the client on the same machine. The blue bars here show the response time overhead, and red bars show the throughput overhead. As you can see, the overhead doesn't increase with the number of threads, and also all of the performance overhead is less than 12%. So when the number of threads is 4, we also see some speed up. I think it's for the similar reason as described in the previous slide. Okay, so as a conclusion, Loom is a live workaround system designed to bypass races. We use execution filters, and we found it's very easy to use. All the filters used in our evaluation are less than 5 lines, and it's also flexible. Almost all the races evaluated can be fixed using different ways. We use evacuation algorithm to ensure safety of Loom, and also we use hybrid instrumentation to improve the performance of Loom to make it fast, less than 5%, and also scalable, the overhead less than 10%, even with a maximum of 32 threads. So as future work, we'll try to build up a generic hybrid instrumentation tool, use this idea. So it's not only for fixing races, but also do general instrumentation. Also, we want to expand this idea to other classes of errors, like memory errors and security errors. Okay, so that's the end of my talk. Any questions?
Rich Draves from Microsoft Research. Uh-huh. With your evacuation algorithm, I was curious if there's a potential for deadlock if you try to get threads to leave the unsafe region.
Inside the region, yeah, that may be the case. But we didn't observe such cases in our evaluation. And also, our system has a mechanism to uninstall the fix when there's really a deadlock. So it's solvable.
Gilles Muller, INRIA. This is nice work. I would be interesting if you have some way to collect the information you have at runtime so that you could have some way to fix the bug in the source code.
Sorry, I didn't quite get your question.
I would be interested if you could use the information that you collect at runtime to then have a way to fix the bug on the source code.
Okay, so you mean how does the user to write such an execution filters, whether we provide information for them to do? Is that?
No, not a filter. I want to fix the bug.
Oh, you want to fix the bugs? How do we provide information for them to fix the bug? So they can just examine the source code, and since we have their debugging information, so they can just simply say, I want this. They can write execution filters using those languages. You see their line number plus the file name so that to write these filters.
If there are no more questions, let's thank the speaker.